And oh yay, I'm here. Hello everybody, streaming consciousness is here. It feels very strange to refer to myself in the third person. I don't enjoy that. I'm gonna have to be honest. I don't think that's the way for me to go. But so like there's this scene from The Newsroom. And I was trying to watch it because I was trying to remember exactly where it happened, but I'm not gonna. So Dawn, who was the main character, Jeff Daniels, executive producer, they're all in a huddle and they're talking fast and saying all the Sorkin-y things. And someone says, "You're dramatically underreacting." And he's like, I'm the only one not dramatically doing anything. And lately, that phrase has been sort of stuck in my head because I feel as if we are, I've observed a number of public debacles lately. What do you call it? What's the word for it? Public relations snafus that just seemed completely unnecessary. And when I think about, okay, because every time one of these things pops up, I'm thinking to myself, okay, what would solve this? What would be the thing that makes this go away, you know, turns the temperature down, makes it easier to deal with, or for people to deal with? And in a lot of them, it has been simply an apology. I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, well, okay, for instance, Burger King and their stupid, ill-conceived public relations grab with trying to say, you know, the whole women belong in the kitchen, and then in teeny tiny print saying, oh, yes, we are going to be doing these scholarships. But it turns out that I'm not sure if it was the fallout. I'd have to look it up because, you know, you guys will have to look it up. I'm not sure if it was the fallout from the tweet that caused them to take out the full-paged ad or whether they were taking out that ad anyway. Turns out it equals or is more than the scholarships that they were trying to show that they were giving away. I mean, I don't think anybody seriously believed that, you know, Burger King is advertising that women should stay home. They belong in the kitchen, barefoot and pregnant. I don't think anybody believed that. Maybe they did. Maybe there was somebody who is not savvy enough. I mean, maybe a kid, I guess, could believe that. I mean, it's obvious that they were trying for edgy and like Tom Cruise in a Mission Impossible movie. At some point, jumped and missed, left to hang on by their fingertips. And it seemed to me that it took them way too long to simply just say, you know, we wanted to advertise this thing that we're doing as a public relations thing. We wanted to advertise this thing that we're doing. We didn't go about it the right way. We recognize that maybe playing with misogyny is not the best way to show our customers our appreciation, and we apologize. Oh, and we're gonna make this like, what's the word? These scholarships, these culinary scholarships, a real thing by like making sure that we have a lot, putting a lot more money into it. That's just my part of it. That's all me. That's all, you know, that's me being, trying to think of the word. That's just me going, hey, you guys, I think it would be nice, would be nice if you just kind of gave them a little bit more money. So anyway, so there's my thing. So the other part, the other one of these is like, so I had a thing happen recently. Oh, I've had a bunch of things happen recently. But this particular thing was a fallout with a friend. Oh gosh, I'm having so many of those. And yes, I recognize times of great change bring on strife and stress. And, when you are changing yourself, you're also changing your relationships with other people, and not everybody can hang in with that, especially if part of your relationship is based on something that you're now changing. So with this person, part of my relationship with him was based on the fact that he's a little bit of a jerk, and I and old and does his best to get his head around the issues, but is a little racist. And he'll say, he's a jerk, and he likes, he thinks he would like to be, I think, George Carlin or something. So anyway, blah, 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 blah. I think the thing is that one of the things that our relationship hung on was me being accepting of the times when he's a jerk and either ignoring it or being the one to go to him. So in this particular con in this particular occasion, he was up to, horseplay, he's up to something. I told him not to do it. He went ahead anyway. I left. And that's all I did. And what was interesting, I didn't do anything else. That is literally all I did. That is all I've done since the situation occurred. I left. I didn't message him. I didn't try to make nice. I didn't do any of those things. Next thing I know, I'm defriended an Office Plex server. And I think about that, and that seems to me a dramatic overreaction to a situation where you were the one in the wrong. I hadn't done anything. And because even in that moment, he could have said, I was getting ready to do this thing, and then I didn't realize, I didn't realize that I was already, it wasn't intentional or something, or just reach out or something. But instead, there's this big dramatic reaction. And so I've been watching these other public things. I've been watching Taylor Nolan, who her tweets from long ago surfaced. And she did apologize, but she did it badly. There's a thing that happens with apologies. Sometimes we apologize too early and we're not really ready to take responsibility for what we've done. And other times we apologize too late, or let everything get blown out of proportion instead of simply cutting it off at the pass with some kind of communication, some kind of acknowledgement that we recognize that what we did was maybe not okay. The third thing that we do is that we base whether we apologize on the person that we are, the status of the person that we are apologizing to. And I feel as if I've been seeing a lot of that. I feel as if I've been seeing a lot of, I'm not apologizing to, an emphasis on the them, you know? Sharon Osbourne on the talk had a Karen moment in which she was trying to get clear of the mess that she created for herself by getting involved in Piers Morgan's mess. Okay. People wanted to know she is a racist. People were like accusing her of it. I guess she was getting pushback online. So the next day, she goes on the show to address it. And Cheryl is the one who asks her the questions that people have been kind of what their concerns were. Next thing you know, Sharon is yelling at Cheryl, black woman, and crying and swearing and being extremely aggressive. And then telling, and then in the process of all this, she's demanding that Cheryl educate me, then educate me. Tell me, what is racist? What is racist? All right, so she's, I can't do her accent, I can't do her voice, but she was going on and on at her. She's like, don't you dare try to cry. If anybody should be crying, it should be me. Okay, here's what's hilarious to me. All right, very, okay, sure, decent, you know, normal human white person backs another white person who has been accused of, who has been accused, he's an edgelord. That's the only way I can think of it. I don't know why edgelords think they're interesting, but they are not. So anyway, so he's an edgelord and he went too close to the edge this time. And so she's backing her friend, which she didn't have to do, especially if she didn't agree with what he said. And now she's surprised that people are coming for her. Like, why are you supporting him? And then when a friend on the show attempts to support her and help her to clean up the mess she's created, she then gets too progressive with the friend. And what interested me when she did do her, you know, the standard, thank you, the standard Instagram apology that people do, you know, they say things with, as I love, this is one of my favorite sayings, with their whole chest, and then apologize in an Instagram story, which is hilarious. Because it's like, it's like saying, I don't really want to apologize to you, and I don't mean it, and I couldn't get away with it on video, so I'm going to do it this way, because I don't really understand what's happening. And that's what I always assume about Instagram apologies. So she apologizes, but she did not apologize to the woman she yelled at, and basically opened up for all manner of online abuse by accusing her of being a racist, which she did not do, which she explicitly said, you are not, more than once. And what I'm sure happened, I'm sure that Cheryl has been getting lovely, lovely DMs and ads on social media that she could seriously do without, because the worst thing in the world that a Black woman can do is make a white woman cry. Because then all of the like roof caves in, and white men get all puffy and Black men get all apologetic, too many of them. You know, start, you know, apologizing for her. It's just a mess. So, but here's that thing. And this all stems from like this interview that was done, which frankly might not even exist without an apology. Because I think possibly if when the story came out that Kate made, that Meg made Kate cry. I know this is, you have to have been in on the interview. PBG, you have to be in on the interview to know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry if you weren't. So she wanted them to fix the story, and all they had to do was say, okay, we're really sorry. We're, you know, this was a mistake. Here's the correction. And all of this is done. None of this, a lot of this drama probably doesn't develop if they just started treating her like she meant as much, or her humanity mattered as much as Kate Middleton's. That's the issue, isn't it? I've watched over the past few weeks of conversations, I have seen so many situations erupt that should not be explosive. Someone did something, someone said something. We all do. We say and we do things on accident, on purpose, that seemed like a good idea at the time, but we're, you know, poor judgment. We all do these things. But these days, it does not really seem to be about the thing done, but the person who needs to be apologized to. I'm perplexed. I'm perplexed, I admit. I look at these situations and I'm gonna, you know, I've been talking about race a lot lately because I've been unpacking a lot of stuff. And that's, you know, after 46 years, there's a lot to unpack. I haven't touched, it's a box that I tended to put things in and not touch. But one of the things that I've really noticed is that these situations blow up and there's a lot of upset about the fact that they blow up, but most often they are not things that would have blown up if someone had just apologized. Just say you're sorry. Just say you didn't intend it the way it was taken. Just say you didn't understand that what you said was offensive or why it would be, and that you don't really still understand, but you're working on it. I mean, there are just so many ways of just apologize. Just say you're sorry. The problem is that very often these situations become these minor disagreements, become situations in the case of like what I watched happen with my friend. He did something that was kind of a jackass move to me. After I said, don't do it, I left. Every reaction after that was his. Everything else was him. It was, he's the one who decided to unfriend. He's the one who decided to not talk. He's the one who decided to do all that when just like a week before he's begging me, you know, please make sure you never leave me as a friend. And all I did was stand still. I saw the same thing happen with Rachel Lindsay when she was interviewing Chris Harrison on The Bachelor, which is a whole mess. And if Rachel Kirkconnell had been not pressured to keep her mouth shut, if she had been allowed to apologize back when this stuff showed up early this year, none of this other stuff would be happening right now. Because what she did was, you know, insensitive and stupid and obnoxious and irritating, but it was not a capital offense. It was what you would expect from a girl. It's what you would expect from a white girl who comes from a town that used to be a sundown town. As in, nigger, don't let the sun set on you in this town, kind of thing. There used to be towns that had those laws. So it's what you would expect. Even with all of the work that I'm sure she's done and all of the goodwill that I'm sure she has, there's a lot to unlearn. There's a lot to unpack. I mean, shoot, I'm still unpacking things. And I tend to keep my racism closet fairly well, you know, aired out and uncluttered and organized, you know? So, there are still things that come up into my mind that I'm going, okay, now where did you come from? That is a very racist thing. You are very racist, thought. Let's see what you're about. And, you know, do the whole unpacking it and then, you know, reorganizing and then putting it away. And so I know that she had stuff that she needs to unpack. And I think people are understanding of that. But instead, there was silence. There was silence from ABC. There was silence from The Bachelor. There was silence from her. There was silence from Chris Harrison for a month and a half. Then Chris Harrison goes on this interview and shows his entire behind for like 12 or 13 minutes straight, with a few minor interruptions for Rachel Lindsay to try to ask a full question, which, you know, he struggled with allowing her to do. It was hilarious. And then everybody got mad at him because she totally underreacted. She almost did a bad job as a journalist to underreact in order to just allow the public to see Chris be Chris. When, you know, if she were white, probably she would have been able to get away with really drilling down into some of his thoughts, attitudes, ideas that he was expressing. And she said she made a conscious decision not to do that because she knew if she showed any reaction at all, any emotion, that it would be the conversation following, in the weeks following, would be about her reaction rather than his behavior. So it was, it's like that for one of a shoe, the war was lost kind of tale. You know, for one of a shoe, the horse was lost. For one of a horse, the rider was lost. For one of a rider, you know, whatever. So I just wonder if we need to like unpack how we think about apology. To me, an apology is something you offer when you feel bad that a situation is going the way it is. Minimum. That's the low bar. When you realize that you contributed to it. Doesn't matter who the person is. And I think this is where people are kind of getting hung up. I think this is maybe where people are starting to have to unpack a little of their unconscious bias when they are forced to apologize to a woman or a gay person or a person of color because they have done or said something that has created discomfort and difficulty. And I think for white, straight people in particular, and some gay ones too, let's be real. I think whiteness, always my new saying is white supremacy means never having to say you're sorry. And this is what I'm sort of seeing is people think that the drama, you know, when they talk about, you know, how about SJWs and wokeness and all of that stuff, the drama usually results from, hey, thank you. Usually results when the person doesn't apologize, when the person doesn't treat the other person as if they somehow trespassed against them. Usually people are just sort of sitting still, not doing a whole heck of a lot of anything, saying a whole heck of a lot of anything. And there's all this drama, you know, people get online and they have their opinions and they're going back and forth at each other. And in the process, all that had to happen between these two people is one of them, the one who was in the wrong, to say, you know what, I'm not exactly sure what I did. I'm not exactly sure why it was a big deal, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry. An apology is not that big a deal. It doesn't open you up to, you know, I don't know what. I don't know what people think an apology, apologizing for something opens you up to. Doesn't open you up for looking weak. It opens you up to putting a period at the end of the situation. Hey, McCoy. Thank you, you guys. That's what it does. And I'm not sure, but I think we know this, but there is something about certain people where when they look at a situation, and I think this happens around all of the isms. And frankly, and I said white people, but everybody does it. When you feel like you've crossed an ism, especially, or you've misbehaved public, and maybe it's the publicness. Thinking out loud here, folks, because I might be taking some things back. Because I think that might be it. I think that might have a lot to do with it, less so than who was involved and race and gender and all of those things, although sometimes those play a part. But I think it might have to do with those things, but the extra layer of it being, nope, because the thing that happened with my friend, totally private. All those things, totally private. The thing that they did have in common was that they were sort of race related. That is weird. I don't know. I kind of want to believe that we understand how to apologize to each other. Oh, sorry guys. I'm turning hand raising off because it's just a listening thing. I should have done it like at the beginning. Because I don't know yet how to do I don't know how to do what's the word? But I don't know what is it that I don't know how to do? I don't know how to do. I know there are people who do their podcasts from Clubhouse, but I don't know how to do it yet. So, but as soon as I figure out, I would love to do that and have like people come up and talk and stuff. But I'm sorry if that means you don't want to stay. But hello, I see you. I see everybody. Hello. You apologize, Real McCoy. That is very nice. Thank you for the apology. I don't know what you're apologizing for, but I accept your apology. And look, it's all over. That's all it takes. But I don't know what it is. I don't, I wish I could, real talk. Real talk. It's the white supremacy. I apologize all the time. I have apologized when it's been my fault. I've apologized when it's not been my fault. I've apologized when it's been public. I've apologized when the situation has been private. Apologize all the time. I'm super careful about how I'm perceived. I'm super careful not to step on people's toes. I'm super careful to clean things up quick when they go wrong. Because when you don't, and you're a black woman, it becomes a circumstance of what happens to the rest of your life. That is a true thing about me, my experience. I don't really know how it is for everybody else, but I do see what I have noticed, especially amongst women, that apologies are sometimes a lubrication of communication. You have an argument, and it's not even about whether somebody's going to apologize. A lot of times you have an argument with a female friend. It's not about whether someone's going to apologize. It's who's going to apologize first. Because what happens? I say I'm sorry. You say you're sorry. We move on. So what mystifies me in these situations is why on earth didn't ABC, The Bachelor, and Rachel Kirkconnell apologized like early this year when all this stuff showed up? Because seriously, they owe one. This girl's social media was public for anybody to see, and they were having their first Black Bachelor. And in the first season with their first Black Bachelorette, they had a racist on the show. Acknowledged racist on the show. I mean, I don't know if he acknowledges it, but just about everybody else does. So why not? So they did owe an apology because you would think that after that they would know better. Of course, we know that, they probably wanted the drama of the race question being a thing. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, maybe nobody knew. Maybe people are bad at their jobs. That happens all the time too. So when that happens, and what happens is you have the first Black Bachelor, and this girl has a racist past, ABC, The Bachelor, Chris Harrison, Rachel Kirkconnell all released their apologies at the beginning of the year. And guess what? We're not still talking about this in March. And Chris's job is secure. So I think what we have is a situation where it's about who we're apologizing to. Because who would the bot be apologizing to? Black people in general, there seems to be an allergy to that in this country. It just really does. It was like 2000 something, 2004, I think, when Congress apologized for slavery. It might have been the Senate, but it was one of the houses. Pretty sure it was Congress, actually. And it's not something that's ever come from the podium of the president. There's an allergy to it. Mount Rushmore has been proven in a court of law, Supreme Court, to be owned by Native Americans. And I'm not exactly sure how we're getting around just kind of holding on to it. But it seems to me that there's some apologies due. And it feels like the bigger the crime, the more difficult it is that people of privilege find it to apologize. And that sentence was a very badly said sentence, but you know what I mean. Because I do kind of have a feeling of this bachelor thing, that it was intentional. It's hard to imagine it as an accident, like especially after the first one, right? And I look at the Piers Morgan thing too, and I think, dude, all you had to do is say you're sorry. Here's the thing, though. We all know that Piers Morgan is going on to the next Fox that the UK is producing. Rupert Murdoch is starting a station. I don't imagine that happened, you know, overnight between the time when he was asked to apologize and he refused to, which is also a guess. And then he makes it like, you know, he does something horrible, is horrible, behaves horribly because he's a jilted boy. Who was jilted by a black woman, which some white men have real struggle with. It gets really like kind of, you know, grabby, ownershipy, kind of gross stuff in the background. I have had that experience too, sitting there watching the interview with the dad and with Pierce, and I'm thinking, oh gosh, this is so Dan and Matt in 1988. This is not good. Oh, this is an icky feeling. I recognize this. So anyway, instead of apologizing for how badly he behaved, it's like the idea that you don't owe anybody an apology. Why? What does that mean? What does that mean? You don't owe anybody. What does that even mean? There's a big, big mess. You know, you look at your friend, they're in a fix, they're in a jam, they're in a mess. If an apology gets it done, why not be like, dude, just apologize. It'll be all, and let's just move past it. You don't owe anybody an apology. How do you know? Maybe they are sorry. Maybe they do feel bad that things got ugly. What's wrong with an apology? So I'm being super dramatic in this, but I do find all of the acting that I have seen people do in recent months after poor behavior that they have not apologized for extremely dramatic. I mean, especially if the wounded party is of color, that person is usually just sit and chill. They're just sitting chill. They're saying very little, and they're being super even-toned and even-handed. And often, when you look at these situations, it's a lot of white people yelling back and forth at each other anyway. You're a racist! No, you're the woke police! You're a racist! You're the woke police! And the person of color is sitting there chill. Apologize! You shouldn't have to apologize! Apologize! You shouldn't have to apologize! And it is just so crazy. When really, all you gotta do is say, I am so sorry. I did not want this. What has happened, what I'm looking at, this is not what I wanted to have happen. And I'm sorry. I'm gonna be going on that for a little while because it just seems outrageous to me. I'm coming up on like a 1 year anniversary of a really big, ugly betrayal. And as I said, I do sometimes think that the bigger the betrayal, the harder it is to apologize for people. Nobody's apologized to me. And I will tell you, it was really painful, it was really difficult, the whole thing, but all I did was step out of the situation. That's what I really did. I didn't throw scenes, I didn't scream at people, I just left the situation because it was the only control I had. And these people have tremendously overreacted. And I find that all the overreacting and all the drama, you know, if you find yourself getting really dramatic about something, you know, somebody wants you to apologize. This is what I notice. You know you're wrong when you're dramatic in your reaction to the situation. That's how you kind of know you're wrong. Because when you're right, when you're in the right, you don't need to react dramatically. You either decide, hey, I'm sorry, or you don't say you're sorry. You know, you do one or the other. But you don't feel the need to get all hysterical. Like, I'm sure that in this situation, there are people who would like me to apologize to them. Will I? No, because I did nothing wrong. Do I feel the need to, like, go and scream in their faces because they want me to apologize? No. Do I feel the need to get, like, you know, gather, like, all of my posse and have them go in on them because they want me to apologize? No, because I didn't do anything wrong. I don't feel guilty about anything. I was minding my business and all of this stuff literally fell on my head. So no. And maybe that's what we need to look at. When we feel the need to, like, get super, super dramatic in a situation where there's conflict between us and another person, ask ourselves maybe if we're being a bit dramatic in order to distract ourselves from the fact that we are wrong as two left feet and we owe someone an apology, even if it seems that that person is beneath us in status or ability or whatever. We may owe them an apology. We may owe an apology to someone who we consider beneath us, which, believe me, it is an ugly thing to say, but we all have those people in our lives who we think we're just a little bit better than. Tell me we don't. So, say sorry to the person that you think you're better than. And you know what'll happen then? You'll actually be able to have a little bit of evidence to back up your idea that you're better than them if you can do it. So I'm going to wrap it up because I've been jawing on now for like 40 minutes, very little other than what my mother taught me before I even ever went into school. What I was taught in preschool, which is when you do something wrong, or you hurt somebody's feelings, say you're sorry. What on earth is this so? Why on earth is this so complicated? And I know that there are people who are like, well, people are afraid of getting sued. That's just not true. You're not afraid of getting sued because all of the data shows that an apology is much more likely to head off a lawsuit than not apologizing. So that doesn't hold water if it's a corporation or whatever. So this is me signing off. Thank you, people who listened in. You're so nice. I'm ending the show and I am going to be going back to the room and I guess and turning on hand raising because the show, she is over. Have a great night. Be good to each other. Streaming consciousness out.